Dear friends, let us stand up and confirm the promise that belongs to the door of our hope. May the resurrection of Christ reign within our bodies. Amen. Let us sing a song. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful to your holy name for the great privilege of being in this place that your hand has appointed for the worshiping of your holy name. Now allow your inheritance in the name of the blood of the covenant to be lifted to heights that are not reachable for us and to destroy all burden and sin that binds us. May in the services previously all the works of devil be cursed, illnesses, poverty, untimely death, demonic possession, all matter of fear, depression, destruction, ignorance, and error, all of this may depart from the tents of your holy people. Now stand, O Lord, upon the place of your rest, you and the ark of your might, and may your saints be clothed into your salvation, and may they rejoice before your face. Give us more of your Spirit, saturate us with your Holy Spirit, allow us to find your great face. We thank you that the service is presented by Apostle Arkady into your godly hands, and we pray, continue to lead it with a mighty and powerful arm, our great God, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated. The book of Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We continue to submerge into the revelations which were presented in the cycle of the sermons of our precious Apostle Arkady, called The Right to the Power to Put Off Our Former Way of Life, so that we can clothe our body into a new way of life. The right to the power. The right to use this power, which is the privilege of only the students of Christ who are ready to be obedient to the commanding words of God. If I am not a student, if I'm not ready to obey his commandments, then God does not give me the right to use his power. And to fulfill this decreeing commandment, we need to utilize three faithful, commanding, and fundamental requirements. And these are put off, be renewed, and put on. And so the question, what conditions do we need to fulfill so that by the means of an already renewed mind, we begin the process of clothing ourselves into the power of the glory of our new man, created according to God in Jesus Christ in righteousness and holy truth? Relevant to this, we stop to study the metaphor contained in the 18th Psalm of David, revealing the consistency of legitimate prayer contained in 8 of the names of God Most High. It is the names of God, Apostle Arkady writes, that revealed the character of God and the inheritance that is prepared by him for his children who are born from the imperishable seed of the word of truth. These people are the heirs of eternal life. Learning and confessing the power of the 8 names of God contained within the heart of David allowed David to love and call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, to be saved from his enemies. Learning and confessing the truth, revealing the power of God's names within the heart of David, and consequently in our hearts as well, provides God with the legitimate ability he needs to use the power and mighty abilities that are contained within his names in battle against the enemies of David. Psalm 18:1-3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Together let us proclaim our inheritance and our characteristics in Jesus Christ. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my rock. Lord, you are my fortress. Lord, you are my deliverer. Lord, you are my rock in whom I take refuge. Lord, you are my shield. Lord, you are the horn of my salvation. Lord, you are my stronghold. May the Lord confirm his names, the power of these names, within our hearts. We turn to the holy mystery of the glorious and unsearchable inherited lot within Jesus Christ, contained in the name of God, horn. We have proclaimed together, Lord, you are the horn of my salvation. In a specific format, we have already studied the first two classical questions, and therefore will immediately turn to the study of question 3. The third question, what conditions do we need to fulfill so we can provide God with the legitimate ability he needs to demonstrate the might of his redemption in the salvation of our soul and our body by the power of his name, horn? Here, this revelation is given that the name of God, horn, is given for the salvation of our soul and our body, and not just for us. This revelation we are receiving for our children and grandchildren, because when we save our soul, then we save our children. We activate the promise, you and your house will be saved. You will be saved. When my soul dies for the house of my Father, who resists the truth in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I activate the promise of the salvation of my personal house. And so when we save our soul, we submerge in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we reobtain it in the resurrection in a new form, then we save our children. We die for the house of our Father, who resists the truth, and we save our personal house. And when we save our body, then we save our grandchildren, together with our children. In the parables, it's written that for the righteous will be rewarded with good. This good is the promise, the adoption of our body by the redemption of Christ. And further, it's written, the good leaves his inheritance also to his grandchildren. A good person is a righteous person that the Lord has rewarded with good. He has given him the right to either die or remain until the time of rapture to take this promise or to be resurrected. But he dies with this promise, or he remains alive until the coming of the Lord Jesus with this good, with this promise. And the Lord says this good is the righteous who has a good promise. He leaves his inheritance not just for his children, but also his grandchildren. This is the royal promise given to kings and priests who have the promise, and the promise of salvation is then expanded not just on them, but onto their children and also their grandchildren. God calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't just say, I'm the God of Abraham and maybe Isaac and Jacob. He doesn't say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and maybe Jacob. He says, I am the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, Son, and Grandson. The patriarch Abraham had the royal promise. That's what this means. He saw the city whose foundation is the Lord, and he lived in this promise. And so he saved not just his spirit, but his soul in the form of Lot and his body. Also, when God already had the right to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we are saved as in the blink of an eye, then we are then to ask ourselves, if we are just leaving our money for our children and nothing more, then we are the most unfortunate of all. And if we're not even leaving money, but leaving debts to our children, then this is, of course, even worse. Eighth price or condition, providing God with the ability to demonstrate the might of his redemption in the power of his name, horn, consists in the requirement which, when fulfilled, gives us the ability to live among the devouring fire of the holiness of God Most High. Let us look at what this requirement is, that if we fulfill, we can then live among this devouring fire of the holiness of God Most High. Isaiah 33:13-16. Hear you who are afar off what I have done, and you who are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? And it says further, who can? This is a person who fulfills specific requirements. Here's the requirements. To live and dwell with everlasting burnings, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. And to this person God will give a reward. He will reward them. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. We continue to study the four signs by which we need to examine ourselves as to whether we have built ourselves into a golden altar of incense with horns coming from it, which has allowed us to get to know the might of God within his glorious name horn, so that we can live among the devouring fire of the holiness of God Almighty. And here are the four signs of the reward for the person who will fulfill the requirements of God. First sign, we will dwell on high. Second sign, our place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Third sign, the bread of life will be given to us. And fourth sign, our water of life will be sure. We have been studying the first sign, and this is, we will dwell on high, upon the heights of the Lord. According to Scripture, Apostle Arkady writes, the image of the heights of God, where God himself dwells, and the boundaries within which God walks, within the flame of his devouring fire of holiness, are the following components. The heights of the Lord is the combination of the heights of the heavens, the sanctuary in the form of the bride of the Lamb, and a humble and contrite heart of a man. Second, the heights of the Lord are the mountain of God, the mountain Bashan, the heights of the clouds, the heights of the sea, the heights of the earth. Christ within us and us within Christ is also the heights of the Lord. The heights of the Lord is the grace of God given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The heights of the Lord is the poverty of our spirit. The heights of the Lord is obedience to the voice of the Lord in the mouth of his apostles and prophets. And the heights of the Lord is the nest of an eagle built upon the heights. These 10 components or constants identifying the holiness of God in the image of the heights of God contain a balance as they are within one another, flow one from the other, reveal themselves in one the other, and identify the truthful nature of one the other. In the previous services, we already studied the first four signs of dwelling upon the heights of God and stopped to study the fifth sign, consisting of the heights of the earth, included within the components of the fast that God has chosen. Fifth component of the heights of God upon which God himself dwells are the results of the fast that God has chosen. Let us remember that the heights of the Lord are rewards for fulfilling the commandments that he has given. Let's look at this reward and what it's made up of. Isaiah 58:6-14. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide him yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, this final promise, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. A very powerful finish to this place of scripture, that the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is an oath promise, the oath words of an oath. This an oath promise is when God has obliged him, he has made himself, he has put himself in the way and made himself responsible. These are the oath promises. God has required himself to fulfill this. And so the heights of the earth within our body, upon which God himself dwells, contained within the given metaphor of the prophet, is the celebration and the honoring of the Sabbath of the Lord in the form of your church. The celebration or celebrating is presented in the form of a fast which God has chosen in aid of its conditions. The fast, and so the first condition of this fast is to loose the bonds of wickedness. This means for us to put our heart, our mind, and our mouth in complete dependence of the word of truth. Second condition of the fast, to undo the heavy burdens. This means to place yourself in voluntary dependence of the slavery of righteousness. Third condition, to let the oppressed go free. This means to activate your will and your mind to free yourself from the bitterness and offenses that are in your heart and forgive your neighbor. How do you know you have forgiven your neighbor? Now he will begin to worry as previously you were worried. You are now calm. He will now begin worrying. This means you forgave him. But if you are worrying, if you're suffering, and the one that has offended you lives well, you haven't forgiven him. When you forgive and you become free of the bitterness, now the problem begins in the one who offended us. Fourth condition is to break every yoke. This means break any kind of agreement you have with death and make a new agreement in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fifth condition, to share your bread with the hungry. This means to allow your spirit to receive the bread of life using your enlightened mind, collaborating with your mouth. It's not enough just to come to church and listen to the word of God. Our spirit is not being nourished just sitting and listening. He's hungry and waiting, because every time we come to church, we hear the word of God, and we need to put it upon the table of showbreads. The table of showbreads, who are they offering this bread to upon the table of showbreads? And not to us, it is offered to God. And you say, how? God speaks his word, I take his word, and I put it upon his table. Yes. That's how it needs to be. With God, with the monarchs, we don't have the right to eat until his greatness has eaten first. And as soon as he is nourished first, then his servants, his children, are able to eat. The first person to eat is a patriarch. No one would begin to eat until the patriarch had eaten. All began with the father. All began with the patriarch. With the same things with God. Everything we hear, it is put upon the table of showbreads. In another interpretation, it's written, the table of breads before God's face. Before his face, there's this table of showbreads, and not far from it, is the ark. And so, when we hear the revelation, it is ending upon our table, and God is being nourished. and the priests had no right to take these breads. They had to wait exactly a week, and in the next Saturday, the following Saturday, they took these breads and then ate them, and their children did. But the entire week, God was being nourished. He looked at these tables and loved these revelations. Same thing with us. When we hear the word of God, our spirit is not yet nourished. Our spirit is being nourished when we begin to meditate and ponder about the word and confess it. And when we begin to confess it and our mouth begins moving, today in the end we will be praying. For example, we have been proclaiming the names of God just right now. Our spirit begins being nourished. Right now, our spirit is not being nourished. It's being put upon the table of showbreads. But when we begin to proclaim, then the spirit begins to be nourished. Same thing when we're speaking in tongues. Our spirit is being nourished. And when we're taking part in communion and we know what we're doing and we eat the bread and drink the cup, our spirit is being nourished. And so when we pray in tongues, when we pray in our natural tongue, and when we take part in communion, these are the parameters within which our spirit grows and is strengthened. The sixth condition, bring to your house the poor who is cast out. This means to receive for your body the promise of the adoption of the redemption of Christ. The one who is poor, who is cast out, is our spirit. He has no house until this promise about the adoption is received. And as soon as we receive this promise for the adoption of our body, what do? We put our spirit into a house because he cannot live in something that has corruption. He can't live in that. But as soon as the promise exists within this person about the incorruption, now our spirit has a house. This is information we receive, and this is sufficient. And you say, well, this is some kind of game. No, it's not a game. We just received information, and this promise covered all the contours of our body, and we received the promise for our body, and he lives in this information. For this is very important. This is his home for him, and he will honor us. The time will come when he will say, "I can now become your house," and our new man will then clothe our entire body. And this will not happen until we first put him into a house, receive the promise. Talking about the redemption of our body, the salvation of our body by the redemption of Christ. Seventh condition, when you see the naked, that you cover him. This means to be for your neighbor a candle in your house and be compassionate in his difficulties and share your revelations with him and help carry his burdens. And eighth condition, do not hide yourself from your own flesh. That this means make the decision in any circumstance or illness to trust upon the promise of the adoption of the redemption of Christ and proclaim the non-existent stronghold of life within your body as existing and not want to die, and never have the desire to die. This means do not hide yourself from your own flesh, from your own body. There are things that the spirit doesn't want to hear, and there are things that our body hates to hear. When we begin talking about death, it's better that I die. Some people have these sayings. Or some may say, well, I never have a reason to go out to the front to repent, or I never have any reasons. Well, here are eight reasons to come out to the altar. And in certain categories, we have made mistakes in one or another. All of us. The result of fulfilling these eight conditions, which is our demonstrated favor to God, we will then experience God's favor upon ourselves in the following ways. The first, these are rewards. As the morning, our light will dawn in darkness. A very interesting revelation. It was presented to us by Apostle Arkady, three springs of light. The light that comes from a lamp, the light that comes from the dawn, and one coming from the morning star. In Apostle Peter, it's written, we have the prophetic word confirmed, and it's right that you turn to it as a lamp that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises within your hearts. And so the three springs of light. First, we turn to the lamp that shines in a dark place. This allows the morning star then to rise, and when the morning star rises, then the day will dawn. In our life, then the coming of light will come over darkness. Light will begin conquering darkness, but all begins with the light of the lamp. That's why Israel was worried that the lamp would not die. David also is worrying that the lamp not die, that it continued to burn. And so we need to understand that there are three springs of light. They are mutually connected to one another, and it's enough that our lamp burn out, and then the star and our spirit all will, and we will never be able to see the light dawning in darkness. But we will see this dawn, we will see the morning star. And this is not just a night star, this is a morning star. Why morning? Because when at the horizon, the rays begin to show. All the stars, they're there, but they disappear. Or we will see just one very bright star in the horizon, and why it hasn't disappeared. Nothing has disappeared. It continues to burn, all the promises. But now it means that all of the rest of the promises serve this one promise. How do I determine that I have the morning star? The morning star is in the sky during the dawn, and if we want all of the rest of the promises, all of them, all the stars, all the promises, at night you could see all of the stars clearly. In the morning you can only see one, and all is concentrated upon this one and only bright star called the morning star. We don't get rid of the rest of the promises. We have all of them. We keep all of them, but they all begin to serve the one. This is the adoption of our body by the redemption of Christ, which will allow us to fulfill our future calling and meet in glory our Lord Jesus Christ. Second reward, our darkness shall be as the noonday. If in the first component we heard about the revelation of the light, that light includes three components, the lamp and the sky, and then also the morning star. And so our darkness needs to become the noonday. And so there is a darkness that is contrary to the darkness that we know about. He opens up the deep and the sacred, and he knows what's in the darkness. It says in scripture, there's a positive darkness. And so when the darkness of truth is in our heart, and it is transformed into noonday, that is our renewed mind, then this is when negative darkness is driven away. There's no other way to drive away the demonic darkness. You need to put the revelation in the form of darkness. This happens when we hear the word of God, we don't understand it, but we don't reject it. We receive it. As the wise virgins, they had oil within their vessels, the word that they heard and did not understand, but they didn't reject it. The others rejected it. Why? Because they only had oil in their lamps. It was burning. The things worked that were only that they understood. But those had it in their vessel. Why? Because they heard the word, they didn't understand it, but accepted it. They understood. The first principle of the good work is that I need to be convinced in the spring, the person who speaks the word, is he a messenger of God or not? If yes, that's it. Now we have obtained a vessel that we could fill with oil. Why do many people stumble? Why did the pastor say this and another place he says this? Why did we not stumble, you and I? But there are those who have, because they did not have this positive darkness that could become this noonday. And so God has given us this promise, and so we don't stumble and are not tempted. And he will not lay stumbling stone before us. We receive the revelation we don't understand, but then it becomes noonday, the light. It becomes the light. Third, our healing shall spring forth speedily. We are talking about the signs of the reward that are given to a person who will fulfill the fast which God has chosen. Our healing shall spring forth speedily. And here Apostle Arkady had shown a very important principle that healing needs to first be touch our spirit and then only our soul and then our body. There's a process of healing, and this is the fruit of healing. There's a gift of healing. There's a fruit of healing. The fruit of healing includes interesting parameters that we will never see in the gift of healing. The fruit of healing includes the process of growth in faith. When a person receives healing as a gift, he has no growth in faith. If anything just goes not the way we want to, people will immediately begin screaming, "Crucify, crucify them." Those who he fed and healed later yelled to crucify him. Why? Because they did not have fruit. They had healing, but they did not have, it was not the fruit of healing. There was not a process of growth in faith. Also, healing in the gift is just the healing of our body. Healing in the fruit includes the healing of corruption. You are healed from corruption. And so, if you say, you know, my fruit of healing is growing, the fruit of healing is pretty much identified. The growth of the fruit of healing is the less corruption that's in us. And so the less and less there is of it in us, the more our fruit of healing grows. And so corruption then can be cast out and destroyed. And so anytime these things happen, or that we have this corruption, you need to rid your body of it. And this will be only within. And so an illness, if it approaches you, you can then force it to leave you through the right channels or the right process. And so as soon as you get sick, you need to put yourself up on the right rails. And so people can live sometimes in illness for tens of years waiting for the gift of healing when they even through fruit could have received it in a week or two. A person suffering in Bethesda, if you remember, there was a man who suffered for 38 years. He was sick, and he said there was no one who would can put me in the bath timely so that I can be healed. He was saying, because he wanted the gift of healing. But Jesus said, "I see in you the person that you need to be." And he said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And so sometimes we wait for the gift of healing 40 years when we could have taken it in 40 days. In 40 days, we could have taken our healing through the fruit, through the process of the growth of fruit. But if we decide that we want to receive everything as a gift freely, 40 years, a person may be waiting still. And when we talk about the fruit of healing, we need to understand we need to collaborate with the means, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the difference between the gift and the fruit is, as Apostle Arkady has said, the gift is with God. The fruit is in us. And what is interesting, with the fruit of our spirit, we can activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you remember, the high priest on the edge of his hem of his garments, the priest garments, there were the pomegranates and the bells. And so the gift of the word of wisdom we can bring forth through the fruit. This is when we have fear and reverence before the word of God. The gift of the word of knowledge we can bring forth. And this is when we receive the word of God and understand it. The gift of faith, we can produce it through fruit. We can bring it about within our life when we obey our faith to the faith of God. The gift of healing we can bring about through the fruit when we wait for the healing from corruption. The gift of miracles, when we renew our mind with the spirit of our mind, this is a miracle. The gift of prophecy, we can bring it about through fruit when we confess the faith of our heart with our mouth. The gift of different spirits, we can produce it through fruit again. when we received the person whom God has sent and he placed over us, the gift of many different tongues. This is a very unique gift of different tongues that always works or is in collaboration with the gift of interpretation. And God sometimes uses this gift of tongues to speak to people who may understand that language so that they can be reached. And so if we have the gift of different tongues, I pray in tongues and I have a person who can interpret what I am saying. This could happen. Or if I'm speaking in tongues and I immediately interpret myself what I'm saying. Or I just pray in tongues and all of you hear the person who is praying, but you hear it in your own native language. This is typically, of course, for the world, but we have the preached word of God, and for the non-believer, the gift of tongues is sometimes used. And the gifts of interpreting of tongues, as we talked about, this is truth that we have accepted, we understood, and we proclaim for ourselves. All these gifts can be brought about through the fruit, the process of producing fruit. Fourth, reward for fulfilling the fast which the Lord has chosen is our righteousness shall go before us. Fifth, the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. And the fifth we will look at today. The sixth reward we'll study in the future. We shall call and the Lord will answer, here I am. Seventh, the Lord will guide us continually. Eighth, he shall satisfy our soul in drought and strengthen our bones. Ninth, we shall be like a watered garden. Tenth, we shall be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. 11th, those from among us shall build old waste places. 12th, we shall rise up the foundation of many generations. 13th, we shall be called the repairer of the breach. And 14th, we shall be called the restorer of the streets to dwell in. And we'll talk about those in the future. Only having examined ourselves on the given signs of the favor of God toward us, which will follow after we demonstrate our favor to God by fulfilling the 8 conditions we had studied above, we will be able to judge or determine that we have paid the price to build ourselves into a golden altar of incense with horns coming from it, so that we can receive the right to the power to be clothed into the great might of God contained in his glorious name, horn, in the form of linen that is clean and bright. Since in the previous service we already looked at the first 3 components that will be given as a reward to those who fulfill the conditions of the fast which God has chosen, and we will immediately look at the 4th and then the 5th sign. 4th sign that we have fulfilled the fast which the Lord has chosen in the above studied 8 components, which identify the favor we have shown God, allowing God to show us his favor and allow us to ride upon the high hills of the earth, presented within our heart as the promises of the stronghold of life for our body, consists in our righteousness going before God and making his footsteps our pathway. We read in Isaiah, your righteousness will go before you. And here the Lord, our pastor has expanded this, that our righteousness will go before him and will make our footsteps our pathway. His footsteps are pathway. Why not just say, you may say, why can't we just say our righteousness will go before us? It will go before God. The thing is, the many will give their definition of righteousness. We are studying the righteousness that goes before God. And the one that goes before God is the one that needs to go also before us. Because not all that goes before us is what goes before God. And so when we say our righteousness will go before us, pastor says, let us look at it this way. Our righteousness will go before God. And if this righteousness goes before God, it will also go before us as well. First, this will be our testimony that we honor the Sabbath of the Lord. And second, that we have paid the price of building ourselves into a golden altar with horns coming from it, so that we can receive the right to the power to be clothed into our heavenly home by the might of the glorious name of God, horn. We've noted that we can receive the right to the power only when we honor his Sabbath. To honor his Sabbath, you need to build yourself into a spiritual house and holy priesthood. In other words, you need to first be someone so that you can do something. The scripture says, may the unrighteous be unrighteous still. May the unjust let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. To do filthy work, you need to be filthy. The righteous, let him be righteous still. If he is righteous, he can do righteous works. So you need to be someone to do something. And so everything that we then do, and we could say my righteousness that goes before us, we need to determine then that this is the righteousness that goes before God. And so not every person that says my righteousness will go before me is actually righteous. And so we ask the question, what is our righteousness called to consist of that will go before God and will make his footsteps our pathway? The essence of our righteousness, which will go before God, to allow God the ability to erect the stronghold of incorruption within our corrupt and perishable bodies, so he can rapture us within the dawn of the morning star, to meet the Lord in the air, consists in the character of the fruit of our spirit that is in the likeness of the character of Christ. The righteousness of God that will go before us is presented in the character of the fruit of our spirit that is like the character of Christ, which will satisfy the demands of the state of the male child, clothed into the virtue of the wise virgins, which will distinguish him from the remaining candidates of the kingdom of heaven. And that which will distinguish him is that his righteousness, grown by him from the seed of the word about the kingdom of heaven into the fruit of the kingdom of heaven into the format of the tree of life, will identify him as one who walks before God in the light of his righteousness in which God himself walks. At the same time, as it is, the candidates of the kingdom of heaven who have not completed the fast which God has chosen, these people, instead of presenting the tree of life that has grown within their heart in the fruit of righteousness, will present their dead works, not done in God, but done in their own personal fast. Matthew 7:21-22. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They thought that they were doing all of this for his sake, and that this is the righteousness that will go before them. But we know what the result of all these words were. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. They never heard the words, how our righteousness will go before God. What is the righteousness that will go before God? The righteousness that will go before God consists in the fruit of our spirit that has grown from the seed of the word into the fruit of the kingdom of heaven that will represent Christ within us, who walks before God in the light of his righteousness within which God himself walks. And as Pastor has shown, previous candidates of the kingdom of heaven and those who were candidates of the kingdom of heaven who did not have this fruit, because to have this fruit, you need to receive the seed and then grow it into fruit, the fruit of the kingdom of heaven, the character of Christ. But what goes before them is their own dead works that were not done in God. And so we see the category of the male child and the wise virgins, they are different from other categories in their decision and their choice of what will go before them and what will follow them. We read in Revelations in the 14th chapter that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Spirit says that they will find rest from their works, and their works go before them. Their works, and their works follow them, it says. And so their works follow them. For the others, their works go before them. For the blessed, their works follow them. They go behind them. What goes before them? Before them, our deeds will never be before us. The righteousness will be before us. What is this righteousness? This righteousness, it is grown. When we receive the seed of the word of truth and we grow it into the fruit of righteousness, into the character of Christ, and specifically this fruit of righteousness, the likeness of Christ, it goes before us. And then all of the works then we do in God that are done in God, they will then go behind us. They'll follow us. And so if our works go before us, then this is a path to hell. But if our works follow us, and this is possible, when before us is the fruit of righteousness that is grown in God. And so this fruit of righteousness, it will never allow for our personal works, which we will receive a reward for, and our ability to be close to God. And so our righteousness will never allow our works to start going before us, because we will lose our salvation. Whatever we will receive a reward for in heaven, it needs to be behind us. If it goes ahead of us, this is our destruction. And before us needs to be our redemption. That is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the time of communion, Pastor reminds us, there's one thing that needs to be ahead of us always. This is the work of the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our own personal works need to follow us. And so how do I continue the work or make sure the work of the redemption of Christ goes before me? What did you receive in the work of redemption? Justification. What did you receive in justification? The seed. And what do you need to do with the seed? I need to invest the seed so I could receive it as a fruit, in the form of fruit, the fruit of righteousness. And if I receive it, this character of Christ, this fruit of righteousness, this means that the work of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ I have preserved, and it is before me. It always needs to be, the work of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to always be before us. Not because I'm always saying, Lord, forgive me constantly. We can repent, of course, when we need to. But when we're talking about a person who's born again, and if he's Christian for 20, 40, 50, 70 years, how does he continue to keep this work of redemption before him, before ourselves, before them? We receive the seed and we grow it into fruit, the fruit of righteousness, and this is so that we can have the works of Christ before us and our own personal works following us. For us who are Christians, the only way of keeping the work of Jesus Christ, it can happen through fruit. If there's no fruit, then I am just putting my own personal works, my own personal earnings before myself, marching to hell, not even realizing that that's happening. We can only have one work before us, and that is the work of Jesus Christ, which can be preserved by growing the fruit from the received seed, which we received in justification, and our deeds follow. As we talked about, summing up, Apostle Arkady writes, the element of the fast which God has chosen, which when we fulfill will allow us to discover within ourselves the sign of righteousness that goes before God in the fruit of our spirit, providing God with the ability to clothe our body into the redemption of Christ. First, this will mean that we honor the Sabbath of the Lord, and that we have provided God with the ability he needs to have us ride upon the high hills of the earth, within the ability to represent the righteousness of God in the fruit of our spirit. Present the work of the redemption of Christ in the fruit of our spirit. The work of the redemption of Christ in the fruit of our spirit. Our deeds then will follow. And the fruit of our spirit is the work of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, the existence of the given sign will be testimony that we have built ourselves into a golden altar of incense with horns coming from it, which gives us the right to the power to clothe ourselves into the glory of our non-handmade body by the might of the glorious name of God, horn. This is the very interesting fourth sign. That righteousness will go before God. And this righteousness is again the grown fruit of righteousness and not our own deeds, not our own works. The only work, we just need to remember this and we do need to repeat it. We need to thank God that before me is the work of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these words and we form them correctly, we state them correctly. Thank you that always before me is the work of the redemption of your Son, Jesus Christ. I received it in justification in the form of a seed, and I continue to keep it, and I am growing the seed into the fruit of righteousness, into the character of Christ. And when I have the character of Christ, that means that my deeds will never be before me, my earnings, is only the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and my deeds that my future position and my rewards and depend upon. They will follow me. But if my deeds in any way now try to come before me and instead of follow me, this will be to our destruction. Fifth sign that we have fulfilled the fast which the Lord has chosen, in the above-studied eight components which identify the favor we have shown God, allowing God to show us his favor and allow us to ride upon the high hills of the earth, presented within our heart as the promises of the stronghold of life for our body, consists in the glory of the Lord being our rear guard. In Isaiah, it is written, and the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard, meaning it will be our guide. And as we can see, we will not, the glory of the Lord will not surround us if the righteousness of God will not be going before us. These are all connected to one another. The glory of the Lord that surrounds us is completely dependent upon the fruit of righteousness that goes before us. And so we will look at this glory of the Lord and what it represents, what it is. And if you present the interests of the Lord, and you have the work of the Lord before you, the glory of the Lord then is behind you, and as you continue on your journey and you overcome the reproaches that come upon you of those who reproach God, and the attack comes upon you, then the glory will of the Lord will tap you on the shoulder and ask you to go before you so that it can protect, it will be before you then, and it will represent us. When they spat upon Christ, the spitting never actually got in contact with Christ because his glory was before him. A person who has the glory of the Lord as his rear guard represents a certain new relationship with God, which he had not had prior or before. We can see this in the definitions of the verb rear guard, or as we can understand, to guide. This includes rear guard, or to guide, will be located in direct contact or closeness. The glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. It will not just go ahead of us, it will surround us completely. And so, if you are wanting to spit upon this righteous person, they should really consider if the glory of the Lord, is it only behind him, or is it all around him at this moment? If it is before him, unfortunately, death comes upon these types of people. With Apostle Arkady, this had occurred more than once, where people had spoken evil against him prior, and they were mocking him and were jealous. And then I saw how they were spinning, and I saw how when the glory of the Lord was before Apostle Arkady, it was, and Apostle Arkady would shine. And unfortunate events happened with these people due to their own work. And so the rear guard, or to guide, will be located in direct contact or closeness, looking at each other's face. Personally demonstrate and personally reveal the holiness of the Almighty. Have a close and familial relationship. Touch each other or be in contact with one another. Acknowledge a person for specific achievements. Simultaneously be present in one another. Be connected to the glory of the Lord. Be a partaker of God's divine nature. Walk together in the form of a guide or escort. Walk together in the form of a security guard. Personally attract and personally engage in the inheritance. Incline your ear to man. Bow down the heavens for man. As we can see, the word to be the rear guard is it will be close to us and will surround us fully. When the glory of God being around you completely, and this is a safety or protection around you. This is relevant to this. We will need to remember what in itself is the glory of the Lord, according to her inherent characteristics. The thing is that from God's perspective, to guide a person with his glory, or to have his glory be our rear guard upon the heights of the earth, one who has built himself into a golden altar with horns coming from it, means share his glory with man and make this man or person a partaker of his glory. The glory of the Lord is the atmosphere and the state of every place where God dwells, and every work that God does, by a person, in a person, and for a person, in whom Christ lives, and who lives within Christ. It is also called to serve for this person as a reward of God, and a demonstrator of his favor toward man. What have we noted here? That the glory of the Lord is in man, in whom Christ lives, and who lives in Christ, who has the fruit of righteousness. And it will be a reward and favor for this person. And it will be shown in different ways. And it will be safety for this person when he is attacked. And so if we don't have the fruit of righteousness that goes before us, then the glory of the Lord will not be our rear guard, and it will not surround us, as we have read. And your righteousness will go before you, and then the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, and it will fully surround you. Considering this, I will remind us, Apostle Arkady writes, that this result of fulfilling or doing the fast which God has chosen, where we die for our nation, for the house of our Father, and for the corrupt desires of our soul, the reasonable sphere of our soul is renewed by the spirit of our mind, as it is written, Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This phrase, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, means be transformed into a new image or way of life, which in practice means change into a state that is opposite to your current state, or transform from a prior quality into a new quality, by the means of a reasonable and voluntary decision to look upon the glory of the Lord. And so we begin, this illustration is beginning to become clearer. We receive the ability, because of our voluntary decision and reasonable ability, to look upon the glory of the Lord, because when our mind is dark or blind, that means our heart has a covering, a veil. And for us to understand the revelation about the glory of God, we need to have a renewed mind. A renewed mind, it allows us to look not through our emotional sphere. A renewed mind allows us to look using our reasonable and voluntary abilities, using these to look upon the glory of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Considering that one of the definitions of the phrase, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, is to look at each other's face, we conclude that to look upon the glory of the Lord, it is necessary to provide the same definition for her that the Scriptures do. Otherwise, we could possibly choose an object to look upon that is part or belongs to the desire and image of the former life, thinking or being convinced that it is the glory of the Lord. In Hebrew, the glory of the Lord is made up of two words, and these are kavod and shehinah. In Greek, the word is doxa, which means honor, power, virtue, and might. However, the word shehinah in Hebrew, that's how you translate the glory of the Lord, on top of everything means weight or heaviness that is linked to responsibility to personally represent or demonstrate honor, glory, virtue, and might of a new way of life. And so the glory without weight is not glory. Weight doesn't just talk about your great position, but your inner state, your character. The glory, it is determined in the form of weight. It's not that a person has some kind of ability, some kind of markings on himself that would identify that he has some kind of honor. The weight is our great calling. This is to be kings and priests to God. And it it has a specific weight or heaviness that is not possible without the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. And so if we have only some elements, but we don't have this weight, then we don't have what we need. In Scripture, we find testimony of where the glory of the Lord comes from. From the direct presence of God, the glory of the Lord comes from the direct presence of God, from the word of God coming from his mouth. When we hear the word of God coming from his mouth, there the glory of the Lord is present, from the impact or effect of the Holy Spirit, from the demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, from the power of God's creation and from all of his works, from producing the fruit of our spirit, for overcoming reproach for the truth, from our mind. The glory of the Lord comes from our mind that is renewed with the spirit of our mind. Everywhere where the Lord does his work and it demonstrates his presence in some way, his glory is there. And so is it possible that you overcome reproach for the truth that you will obtain the glory of the Lord? 1 Peter 4:14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. However, to see the glory of a new way of life, you need to look at it with an unveiled face through a particular mirror. For example, the word of God says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And also that the whole earth is full of his glory. However, throughout the span of generations, billions of people, both Christian as well as not Christian, looking to the heavens and upon all of God's other creation, and seeing the supernatural power shown in signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit, were not able to see the glory of God in these things. That is called to transform a person into the image of God. So what does it mean when it says, with an unveiled face? And what is the mirror through which you can look at the glory of the Lord with an unveiled face, so that you can be transformed into a new way or into a new image of life? And so seeing the glory of the Lord, we could see it in the mountains and the volcanoes and the earthquakes, in the expression of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. But all these things cannot transform us into this glory. It can scare us, but not transform us. For the glory of the Lord to transform us, we need a different parameter. And for this, Pastor says, let's look at the fact that we need to, with an unveiled face, look at this mirror. We are all aware that when we are looking into a regular mirror, then we see our own image, or we see our exact reflection. Considering that a person who is in the likeness of the image of God, or who has a partaking to God's nature, is the glory of God. An unveiled face is the face of a person who is a partaker of God's divine nature, due to him demonstrating the seven qualities of the Spirit in his faith. As we've noted, with an unveiled face to be transformed into this glory, you need to open up your face, unveil your face. An unveiled face is in a person who is a part or a partaker of God's remnant, or and one who has a renewed mind that produces the fruits of the Spirit. And to unveil this face, you need to remove the covering of the heart and put it upon your head instead. As it's written in Corinthians, but their minds, talking about the Israelite nation, was blind. Their mind was not renewed. For the very same covering continues to remain, because it, as it is in the Old Testament, because this covering is only removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Jews today read the book of Moses and the other books, the covering continues to remain. The veil remains on their heart. But when they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord Jesus Christ himself removes this veil. And now they, with an unveiled face, can look at the very same Old Testament and see the glory of God there and be transformed into that very image. And so we need to understand what an unveiled face is. We will never be transformed into the glory of God if our face is still veiled. An unveiled face, a veiled face, is when a covering lays upon our heart. Any person who is born again, there's a covering on their heart. Reading the New Testament or Old Testament, any word of God, the covering remains on the heart and is removed specifically by Jesus Christ. And how does this happen? To remove the covering from my heart, I need to acknowledge the person whom God has sent into my life, the one who is his mouth. And the Lord says, now you're ready. Look at the mirror of the word of God. Do you acknowledge this person? Yes. He now takes this covering off from my heart and puts it upon my head. And now it is presented in the form of the kedar that is upon my head as a form of a covering. I can hear the word of God now as a mirror and be transformed into that image. And so if a person does not have the person who could represent the mouth of God, then there's a veil that continues to remain on their heart and he can't be transformed into that same image. The mirror through which he is able to see with his unveiled face the glory of God in himself and be transformed from this glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, is the word of God that once came out of the mouth of God, spoken by the mouth of a person whom God has made his own mouth. The mirror is the preached word. We become the mouth of God when we turn our face toward God and take out the precious from the vile. Here's how Prophet Jeremiah describes the glory of the Lord, which he needed to stand before so that it guide him. Jeremiah 15:18-19. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Therefore thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. The precious, Apostle Arkady writes, representing the glory of the Lord, which you need to take out with your meek mouth and our meek heart that is clothed into this corrupt, is the faith of God. And so this precious is the faith of God. And the vial is to be understood as our mortal body. And so the word of God that is given to us, it's this mirror. And it is necessary now to use my own mouth, so that I can take out from this mirror my image. As we will see further, and as we see now, how many components is necessary to collaborate with the glory of the Lord. We need to first have a pure heart where this precious glory will be. We need a renewed mind that allows us to see this precious glory. And we need a meek mouth which will allow us to take out the precious from the vile. And so when a similar person will be looking at the glory of the Lord within his heart in the mirror of the word of God and the works of God that were done with this word, then in this mirror he will see his spiritual reflection. Looking upon the glory of the Lord is to see your own spiritual reflection. And to see your spiritual reflection is only possible when you grow the fruit of the Spirit. And when the fruit of the Spirit, if we have it, then this is the reflection where we see this in the mirror of the Word of God. We, looking upon the glory of the Lord, will see our spiritual reflection, which will consist of who this person is to God in Jesus Christ, and what who God is for him in Jesus Christ, and what God has done for him in Jesus Christ in the plan of the redemption that he was given from the inherited sin and eternal death. Exodus 34:29-35. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And so, looking at this place of scripture where we see his face shone with the glory of the Lord, this is the word of God that came out of the mouth of God. If a sinner had the ability to look into this mirror, he would see, and he would have seen the glory of God. This would not have transformed him, but would have killed him. These moments actually happened frequently in the Old Testament, and even happened today. And so many that come to God are not able to see the glory of God, and are not able to also see how it kills or transforms. If a person will not see the glory of God, he will not be able to see either, even when how it kills or how it transforms. And so if a person remains alive, he doesn't realize that in his spirit he had already died. When in the nation of Israel there was a rebellion against Moses and against the glory of God, God, using his glory, which Moses represented, would immediately defend Moses and would kill with his glory his enemies. Let us remember, when Jesus by the Holy Spirit is within us, then we have the opportunity to represent and defend his glory. When we allow the Holy Spirit to put us into Jesus, then he has the opportunity to defend our interests by the means of his glory. And so the glory of the Lord, or an unveiled face, is that word of God that is written upon the tablets of our pure heart. And the mirror that reflects this glory is the truth of the word of God in the mouth of the person whom God has made his mouth. When we look into this mirror, then it reflects our essence. And this is the spirit of our mind, which is the mind of God, and called the mind of Christ within our spirit, as it is written 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so for today, we will stop here. And so for the glory of the Lord to be able to be our rear guard, so it could surround us completely, behind us is when Christ is within us. We represent his interests, and the glory of the Lord is behind us. But there are moments when Christ needs to represent this glory, or present this glory, demonstrate it for those who are in him, within Jesus Christ. And we saw that we need to be transformed into the glory of the Lord. and for this it is necessary to have a pure heart, where this precious glory is, in his glorious promises. We need to have a renewed mind, which will allow us to look upon his precious glory. We need a meek mouth, which will allow us to take this glory out and clothe us. And so the word that we hear, this preached word, we now see our characteristics, our reflection. This is very wonderful when we hear the word of God, the preached word, preached to us. We see our reflection there. We see all these characteristics, all of these components in ourselves. And what does this say? That we look upon the word of God. When we see the preached word within ourselves, this means we have the word of the Lord. And we are transformed, and we have the glory of the Lord, and are transformed from glory to glory. Let us pray, and let the Lord bless us in this prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the boldness to enter the holiest by the means of the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We thank you for the fast that you have chosen for us. We make the decision upon the basis of your word, to loose the bonds of wickedness, put our heart, mind, and mouth in complete and voluntary dependence of the word of God. We make the decision to undo the heavy burdens, put ourselves in complete and voluntary dependence of the slavery of righteousness, to let the oppressed go free, and to do this, activate the abilities of our will and mind, and forgive our neighbor. We break every yoke, we break every agreement with death, and make a new agreement in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To share bread with the hungry, so that my spirit can receive the bread of life by the means of an enlightened mind, collaborating with my mouth. We make the decision to bring to our house the poor who is cast out, receiving the promise for my body, consisting of the adoption of our body by the redemption of God. to clothe the naked when we see him, and be for my neighbor a candle in the house of God, carry his burdens, be compassionate and sympathetic to him in his sorrows, serve him when he is in need, and share my revelations with him, and not hide myself from my flesh. And to do this, I make the decision that regardless of the circumstances and in illness, to trust and rely upon the promises of the adoption of our body by the redemption of Christ, and proclaim the non-existent stronghold of life within our body as existent and never desire to die. And then our morning, our light will dawn in darkness. Our darkness shall be as the noonday. Our healing shall spring forth speedily. Our righteousness shall go before us. The glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. We shall call, and the Lord will answer, Here I am. The Lord will guide us continually. He shall satisfy our soul in drought and strengthen our bones. We shall be like a watered garden. We shall be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among us shall build the old waste places. We shall rise up the foundations of many generations. We shall be called the repairers of the breach. We shall be called the restorer of the streets to dwell in. We thank you for the faithful prophetic word, and we turn to it as to a lamp that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises within our hearts, first knowing that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We thank you that you gave your only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for setting us free from sin, and not having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, now having become set free from sin, and becoming slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you that you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Thank you that you have delivered us from death. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Thank you that Christ has redeemed our body and our souls. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Thank you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us finish with our manifestation. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.